We're doing Ein Yaakov. We had learned last week that many words in Aramaic have allusions to deeper meanings, and they're not borrowed from Hebrew, but rather each word had its own meaning. We saw mashchilta was a small vessel that was mashikalta. It's used to wash the hands of important people like a kala. Asita, we saw, was chasirta. We saw buchna, boveachna, levusha, lobusha. A garment is lobusha, the upper garment, so you won't be embarrassed. Glima is the robe they wore above their clothing, because his body becomes like a golem. You can't see the cut, a person's cut. We saw puria. Why is a bed called puria? From the word pru or vu, because that's where people procreate. And we saw Sudra, the hat, is Sod Hashem Li Reyav. Hashem's secret is for those who fear Him. And now we're up to Tenor HaBanan. I think until here we learned, right? About the hat. Yes, I think so. Tenor HaBanan. Did we speak about the bed, or that's where we're up to? And we didn't speak about the bed.
No,
I
moving the beds on Tishah
B'Av. Okay, so maybe we were up to the bed. Puria Sheparin V'Rabin Alea. Why is a bed called Puria? From the word Pru or Vu. Because one gets fruitful on the bed. That's a place to multiply. Now, we had discussed why a house is called a house. That come sit down. We discussed the importance of a house being a place where you could sit, having a home. So, Puria Sheparin V'Rabin Alea. That's the place where people procreate. So, first of all, we have a discussion between Rambam and Ramban. Why is the Hebrew language called Lashon HaKodesh? Rambam says that there's no direct word for immodest things. The male organ is called Aver, the limb. Even pubic hair is called Zekan Tachton, the lower beard. There's no direct word for it. A woman's womb is called rechem, from the word rachamim, and her whole tract is called bayit elyon, bayit tachton, prozdor. Chazal spoke about the reproductive tract as the upper house, the lower house, the hallway. Chazal used euphemisms. In Lashon HaKodesh,
the same three words.
Bayit Elyon, the upper house. Bayit Tachton, the lower house. And Prozdor, the hallway. What does it mean when you learn Tractate Nida? So you'll have to study what each one means. What does that mean? Chazal didn't speak about the act of intimacy with a direct word, but rather Tashmish Amita. Usage of the bed. When the Torah wants to speak about a man being intimate with a woman, it says either he knows her, or isha sheyishkavet isha, a man lies with a woman. It doesn't say what's happening there. And there's no direct word for these actions. When it says King Solomon went to do his needs, it says lehasech et raglav, to pour out his legs. He was pouring out his legs. So there's no word urination or defecation. In Hebrew, Rambam says that's why it's called Lashon HaKodesh. Because there's no direct word for things that are less modest. That's Rambam's explanation. Ramban argues. Ramban says we do find words that indicate the exact act. Ramban says the reason it's called Lashon HaKodesh is because that's the language Hashem speaks to us. When Hashem speaks to the prophets, when Hashem speaks to the Torah, it's God's language. That's holy about Lashon HaKodesh. So there's an argument between Rambam and Ramban, but everyone agrees what it says in the Talmud, in Tractate Pesachim, that we do have a responsibility to speak in a clean way. Wherever possible, we use euphemisms, we use nicer words, we don't speak directly. Today, people aren't embarrassed to use all kinds of words which are very direct. And I remember when I was a kid, they wouldn't use those words. There was a time when they wouldn't show people kissing on public television. They wouldn't let you publicize that. They wouldn't show a couple in bed. Nothing about intimacy. They wouldn't show a husband and a wife lying in bed together on public television. I'm going back a few years, right? But this was what was the norm. I grew up with Mr. Ed. You guys probably have no idea what that is. Car 54, where are you? You know, so the world was a more decent place. People used to blush. Chazal tell us that it's part of our responsibility. One of the things God really dislikes, as we learned earlier in our Yaakov class, is when people are vulgar. When people speak about things that they shouldn't be talking about. Talmud says everyone knows what's going to happen the night after the wedding, right? A couple gets married, you know what's going to happen that night, but you're not supposed to talk about it. A married couple have a mitzvah when the woman goes to mikvah, so that night they're supposed to be intimate, right? They have a biblical mitzvah to be intimate. They've been separate from her onset until she goes to mikvah. Now she comes home from mikvah, they have a mitzvah, so that's why she's not supposed to tell anyone she's going to mikvah. It's not a public event. You tell everyone, Ma, I can't see you tonight, I'm going to mikvah. No, you don't tell anyone. It's supposed to remain private. No one's supposed to know. Even the rabbi, when people come and ask him questions, usually, unless he needs to know to answer the question, usually will not ask when it's going to take place, because you're not supposed to know. It's the couple's own private thing. No one's supposed to know about it. So when Chazal tell us that a bed is called a bed, because that's where procreation occurs. That's Puria Sheparin Virabina Lea. So that's, on the one hand, yes, that's what happens on a bed. On the other hand, no one's going to talk about it directly. On a side note, Puria, that's the name of the bed. Borzinka, so that's a pit that had dried out its water. That stands for Borzenaki. This pit is empty, is clean. Sudra, the hat that Talmidei Chachamim used to wear, some kind of turban, that stands for Sod Hashem Lireyav. Sudra is reminiscent of this idea that this is a person that fears Hashem, and so Hashem's secrets are revealed to him. Padna, that's a castle. Apit Chadein, that's the entrance that everyone comes to be judged by the king, or because they have to pay their dues to the king. So Padna, a castle is called Padna, as a conjunction of Apit Chadein. That's the entrance that everyone's interested in what's going on there. So that with that, the Talmud ends the definition of terms. Tenu Rabbanan. We have a Talmudic quote. What does Tenu Rabbanan mean? It means this is a Tanaic quote that was validated by the Academy of Rav Chia or Rav Oshaya. We have many Tanaic quotes. Sometimes we say that's a misquote. Sometimes we say you can't rely on that. But if it says Tanu Rabbanan, that means the rabbis validated this as a worthwhile quote. The rabbis either of Rav Chia's Beis Midrash or Rav Oshaya. Shlosha, there are three that Kol Zeman Shemazkinim, as they age, Mosifin Givua, they get even more brave. They get even mightier. Ve'eluhen, and they are as follows. Number one, Dag, fish. Number two, Nachash, a snake. And number three is Chazir, a pig. Three creatures that as they age, they become even more mighty. Now here, I did not find anyone explaining why this is important to us. I don't know. Iyun Yaakov suggests that it's teaching us a person shouldn't always pursue good foods and his desires. A person thinks if I do that, I'll be stronger as I age. So Chazal tell us these three, the fish, he gets everything he needs from the water, the snake gets everything he needs from the sand, and the pig gets everything he needs from the dump, and even so, as they age, they get even more mighty. So a person's strength as he ages is not contingent on having good steaks throughout his life, etc. It's a good diet, but it's not necessarily the fanciest foods. Sometimes it's the simplest foods that will actually promote a person's strength as they age. So that's the Iyun Yaakov suggests that maybe that's the equivalent between these three. The fish lives off the water, the snake lives off the sand, and whatever he can get there. And the pig in Chazal's time, Chazir Nover Bashpa, says the pig was always found in the mud, always in the dumps. That's where they found their food. Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar Omer. Okay. In our Mishnah, Rabbi Shimon, the son of Elazar, said, if we're looking for how much volume of blood, if you're going to carry it on Shabbat, is considered a volume that's of importance. So kedei likhol ayin achat, the amount that was used to paint one eye. Sheken kochlin lebarkit, they used to use blood in order to color the eye, to cure it from an illness called barkit. Now, barkit is where the eye bulges outward. There was some kind of illness that caused the eye to bulge and look like it was going to explode out of the socket. And the cure for it was that they take the blood of a wild rooster and put it around the inside, like eyeshadow inside the eye, and somehow that would calm the eye. Those of you who want to go into alternative medicine, you want to find a new invention of a cure, you might want to research this. What it is about a wild hen's blood that would calm an eye, this type of eye condition. So, umay niu, what do you use for that cure? Dama de tanagola bra. You use the blood of a wild rooster, that would calm this illness called a barkit. So that's why Chazal say a small vial of this blood is something of importance, because it was used as this medication. Rabban Shimon ben Gamliel omer, dam kedei likhol ba'ayin achat, kedei sheken kochlin liyarud. Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel says, no, we use this amount of blood for Yarud. What is Yarud? So there are two opinions here. Some say it's that the white of the eye starts dripping into the color or the black. I don't know if you guys have ever seen this. I've seen this, where people have this condition where the white and the color of the eye, or the white and the black of the eye, start mixing. So Yarud is where you start seeing a white strip going into the color of the eye. So the cure for that was Mainiu. What did they do to cure that? Dama de Karushtina. The blood of a bat. If they used the blood of a bat on the eye, so that, Chazal said, used to cure this eye condition. Again, you want to go researching this, maybe Teva Pharmaceuticals will buy it off you. Be a millionaire and fun machon mayor for life. Check it out. Who knows? Usually we assume that the cures of Chazal are beyond us. That you have to know what types of bats they had, you have to know what type of illnesses they were talking about. But who knows? The simnich, and the proof, how can you remember which blood is used for what? Gava le gava, the rooster is found inside, you keep it inside in town, in your barn. So that's used for the problem of the eye and the bara le bara. I'm sorry, not it's found in town, but when the truth is here in the neighborhood, if you guys walk around, you'll see bats. We have bats in the trees.
Well, when I was going with you,
right?
We have to make a bracha, a special bracha, non-kosher.
We said that's a mitzvah, yeah, to identify that's a non-kosher bird.
Yeah.
So throughout the trees here in the neighborhood, there are bats. They come out at night and they catch mosquitoes and other flies. The bat corresponds to the white of the eye going into, because the bats are found in civilization, so they correspond, their blood is what's used for the white going into the eye. And bara, we said, it's a wild hen, which in Aramaic means an external hen, so that's
external.
Bara means external. Wild is like saying growing wild, outside of civilization, even though this hen might have grown in civilization, but the way you termed a wild bird or a wild plant was called this plant bara, external, as opposed to the domesticated one that's in town. The wild one is called the bara, the outside one, outside of civilization, the wild. So that's why we said the blood of a wild hen is what's used for the jutting out eye. So the hen that's external, bara, that's wild, that's outside of civilization, that's whose blood you use for the eye that's jutting out. That's, yeah.
Just two quick questions. One, the dog, the snake, and the pig, it sounded like they don't.
The fish, the snake,
fish, and I'm sorry, dog. I wrote dog. It sounded like as they get older, they continue to get stronger without the. That's strange, you know. I mean, you could say, you know, maybe a human will slow down after 50, and a fish will, in fish years, will slow down only the last 6 months of life, but then just keep getting stronger and stronger. Seems strange. For a pig, I guess, I don't know enough about snakes and dogs, but, you know, it's okay. They say it, maybe it must have been. And this, you started out by saying the amount of blood you can carry on Shabbat.
I'll explain. The Mishnayot over here are focused on what volume is considered a volume of importance. And that's important because we're prohibited from carrying something from private domain into public domain or carrying it for footsteps in public domain. Well, how much is a volume that's considered an important volume that if one carried it, they did a biblical prohibition? So what's the minimum volume of importance of different liquids? So the Mishnah said, when it comes to blood, the smallest amount that's used like eye drops in the eye. So the Talmud says, who uses blood for eye drops in the eye? So the Talmud says, two types of blood are used as eye drops, like eyeshadow, that you really paint around the eye with them. The word likhol is usually as eyeshadow. But over here, the intention might have been to do the inside of the eyelid, or like eye drops in some way to get it into the eye. This was a cure for the eye. The Mishnah had discussed what's the minimum volume of sid. In English, you say sid. You don't say sid. The white that's used on the walls. What's the powdered form of that called?
Chalk.
Ground up chalk is called?
Drywall.
So what's it called in powdered form?
Plaster. I really think it's just chalk.
I don't know if it's ground lime. I'm not sure what the exact translation of sid is. Maybe it's plaster. So they used to use it for the girls to clear off their hair. Today they use hot wax, they use laser. So in Chazal's time, they would put this form of plaster on them, and then they'd take it off, and then the girl would have both no hair and hair on her arms, hair in other places that she might want to remove it, and it would cause her skin to be softer. So how much sid is considered an important volume? Kedei lasud etzbak tana shebabanot. For a girl who wants to do it on her smallest pinky. And they used to use it because they also believed that if your skin was red, that was a sign of health. So it left their skin looking red, and they were happy with that. Amar Rav Yehuda Amar Rav. Rav Yehuda said in the name of Rav, Benot Yisrael shegiu lepikan velo giu leshanim. If you had girls who at a very young age, they start being hairy, if their parents are poor, so then they used to smear them with this lime. If their parents were wealthy, then they would smear them with fine flour, and that would help it come off. If they were princesses, so their parents could really afford to invest in this, they used to anoint them with this oil called Shemen Amor, as it says in Megillas Esther, that the girls would spend 6 months in Shemen Amor. What is Shemen Amor? So Talmud says, what is it? Ravuna Barchia Amar Satachat. He said, that's this concoction called Satachat. Rav Yirmiya Baraba Amar, he said, that Shemen Amor is Shemen Zayit Shelo Vishlish. If you harvest the olives before they develop into a third of their ripening, so the olives are still very, very, very sharp, they're very acidic, and then you try to squeeze some oil out of them, the oil you produce from that is oil that'll remove the hair gently and leave the skin silky soft. Tana Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Rabbi Yehuda taught, Anpiknon is Shemen Zayit Shelo Hevi Shlish. not shemen amor, but rather this thing that they called anpikinon, that is olive oil from olives that have not yet ripened even a third. V'lama sachinoto? Why do people use that oil for anointing? Shemashir et ha-se'ar, because it gently removes the hair, umaden et ha-basar, and it leaves the skin very soft. Rav Beivai. So there was a rabbi in Talmud we encounter often, Rabbi Beivai. People sometimes read it as Rav Bibi. Havele brata, he had a daughter, Tafla. So his daughter, he wanted to help her be more beautiful, so he didn't have a lot of money, but he got her a little bit of seed, and every little bit of time she'd put seed on a little bit of herself and then take it off. And that was something that wasn't hurtful, so that was okay. And then Shakil Ba'aba Me'azuzay, she was so beautiful that someone paid a fortune in order to marry her. There were so many people who wanted her that she got in her ksuba a tremendous amount of money, 400 tzuz, which is Chazal's way of saying millions of dollars. Hava ukuta b'shivivute, there was a kuti who was in his neighborhood. Hava lebrata, he had a daughter. So he said, I'm going to sell my daughter, I'll make a mint, I'll be a millionaire. Tafla bechadzimna. So he took his daughter and he said, honey, let's do this. He brought in a whole big jug of seed and he put it all over her at one shot. And then when he took it off, v'meta. So she died. She couldn't handle the pain. Amar, so then this guy said, Katla Rav Beivai lebrati, Rav Beivai killed my daughter, right? It's Rav Beivai's fault. I think the story is an unfortunate one, but the story has tremendous insight. Very often people see a learned person doing something and they figure they'll imitate it. And then it backfires big time to the point where you see the guy lost his daughter. But this is so common that people don't bother asking, Rabbi, tell me, how'd you do it? What would you recommend I do? Does it make sense? How many times do people hear from their friend that their friend tried a certain diet and they go for it and they don't ask the doctor and then they run into all kinds of trouble? It doesn't work for them. That's a good case scenario. It hurts their health. That's a worst case scenario. A book came out about 15, 20 years ago and it said, live your lifestyle healthy like the Rambam says. So a lot of well-meaning people bought the book and went by that book and they ended up having very serious health issues. So the Rambam wrote what he thought was right medicinally in his day. And this person took the Rambam and said, I'll interpret it for our day. Well, he didn't do people any favors. People really became sick from that book. So you want to learn from someone, learn from them. But to say, I can extrapolate and I'm just going to do as I see them do, who said that's going to be good for you? Maybe there are many factors there that you don't know how to factor in. Had he asked Rav Beivai could have taught him, this is how I did it. You want to do it gently, do it slowly, give yourself 2 years' time. No, if Rav Beivai did it, I could do it. Okay, didn't work. And now the Gemara ends with a Gemara that many girls know, at least when I was a kid, all the girls knew this line in Gemara. Amar Rav Nachman. Rav Nachman taught, Rav Beivai deshati shichra, because Rav Beivai drinks beer, because he used to drink beer, bayin bante tafla. That's why his daughters had this hair problem. If the father drinks a lot of beer, then his daughters are going to be very hairy. So this, in my days, the girls used to translate this to mean, don't drink from the wine of Avdallah because it'll make you hairy. There's this girls all tell one another. You know, some things, they get around better than the Ten Commandments. All you have to do is make a rumor, and now it's more juicy. So girls will swear that if you drink from the wine of Avdallah, you'll become hairy. Maybe. Maybe if the beer of Rav Beivai affected his daughters, then certainly if the girl herself drinks beer or wine. I don't know. Anan, Rav Nachman says, but we, deloshatin and shichra, we don't drink beer. Lo bayin bantan tifla. He says, we don't need this stuff. He says, we're not big, we don't drink beer where I live, so our daughters aren't hairy. So I don't know, I never checked this out. Yeah, I have no idea how this works. But the Seder,
maybe sometimes, because I drink beer and I don't have hairy daughters.
But your beer is distilled. Who knows if they spoke? You know, I don't know. Our beer,
alcohol, not hardcore, right?
I'm saying our beer is. I don't know if our beer compares to their beer.
Why is it they say? Although I don't know, maybe someone told me today that was a mistake. I always thought that their wine was much stronger. I think it was Ralph Weinberg or someone else in the studio said, not necessarily. You know, they were able to do things so it was a little bit stronger, but not like that. They just diluted it because they didn't drink water or soda. You know, that water wasn't really drinkable, so they mixed a lot of it in to make it the wine, you know, just the drinkable, like Kool-Aid, but it made it less alcoholic. But it wasn't that they had to do it. I had wrong information for a long time. If that is right information. Okay, sorry.
So, what did we learn today? We learned today about Puria. We discussed the Machloket Rambam Ramban. Why is it Lashon HaKodesh? Is it because it's everything's in euphemisms? We don't have direct words, or is it like Ramban says, it's the language God speaks? We spoke about the three that as they age get more brave, and that the message is that they get more brave, they get more powerful on the simplest means, on the simplest foods. We discussed the different bloods that were used as cures for the eyes, be it the blood of the wild hen or the blood of the bat, and the cure for the bulging eye and the cure for the eye where the white mixes with the color. And then we discussed how they used to clean the girls of hair and make their skin soft, the different methods that were used depending on the wealth of the family. And that when the Kuti tried to mimic what Rav Bevi did with his daughter, he killed his daughter. A person shouldn't mimic something without verifying what the proper way to do it. And then the last line Rav Nachman said was that because the parents drank beer, that's why the girls were so hairy. And we said maybe our beer is different, who knows? And maybe a girl drinking wine or beer is more effective than her father if she wants to become hairy, I don't know. But Chazal say that if a girl can assume that it's better for her not to be hairy, as we see from Rav Bevi, the average guy is going to prefer it the other way.